When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Forever Dog.
Warning. The following podcast features live invasions by actual wildlife, an evil botanicus addicted to sky murder, and fawning tributes to universal wetness. For the first time in a long time, it's an actual recent ride, The Secret Life of Pets, off the leash on Podcast The Ride.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, the podcast about theme parks where we misread today's ride's title long ago and are very disappointed it is not The Secret Life of Pests and that John Leguizamo is not involved in any way. I'm Scott Gardner, clearly agreement from Mike Carlson.
I agree. I heard you mumble to yourself, this is a long dog walk, too. And I was like, oh, is that part of the joke? Because today the topic would have something to do with dog and walking.
Yeah. That I could have saved that. That could have been a good little addendum.
At the end there, right.
To say, thanks for putting it in.
Yeah. So, no, I'm glad we got some Leguizamo in there. I was just talking about Leguizamo the other day. I think in regards to his Spawn character, the clown, is it Jason? Is it Jason Sheridan here as well? Is the clown the name of the Spawn villain, or is it clown?
I think just clown.
Okay.
I did read the first collection of Spawn comics and watch the Spawn movie during quarantine times.
Okay, so it's clown.
And I believe it is clown.
We haven't had enough clown discourse. on the show. I mean, we have had a lot of clown discourse, but we haven't had a lot of clown discourse.
Okay,
if you know
what
I'm saying.
Thank you for clarifying, because I think plenty of lowercase c clown.
Yeah.
It's not too much.
Not clown, really. It's clown.
Okay.
Just the distinction.
That is with a C, capital C, not capital K, evil K clown.
Yeah, go back and listen to the way I'm saying it. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear it. You know what I'm saying? You can
clown.
Tell the difference.
Yeah, you put a little thing
clown,
on it.
Clown, not clown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If we're calling out John Leguizamo's characters, I don't really know about the pest, but now I've looked it up to see that the character's name is Pestario Vargas, which I like. And that this is was a remake of a Stan Laurel project.
Really?
Seemingly. Or
whoa,
wait, maybe
really?
Inspired by a short story. I can't.
Okay.
Well, there's also a Stan Laurel called The Pest from 22, and then there's a 24 short story. Maybe not. Maybe not, actually. I might be conflating those things. Immediate error, immediately rescinded. But I like that idea that it's a Stan Laurel remake by John Leguizamo.
So we're actually half right. John Leguizamo's character is named Clown. He is also referred to as Violator.
Really?
Yes.
Violator?
Yes.
I'm not a big Spawn guy.
That's what happens when you are one of the most powerful people in comics with complete control over your product and you are 22 years old. You're like,
you're gonna
the bad guy is named Clown and also Violator.
Mm, You're saying no non-powerful comic book artist writer at 22 would have been able to have a character with two names. There would be no way.
It's very extreme. It's very, like, you know.
Image Comics, Surf Todd Board. McFarlane yeah, on the top McFarlane. Of the world. I'm going to give that character two names.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm mad with power. I'm drunk on power.
The indulgence.
Disgusting.
I'm ask for
say.
A nicer chair to draw my comics in.
Do you think there's a chance if The Pest has... I have actually never seen The Pest. If it had a theme park in it, at this point we would be calling our listeners pests. Is there a chance of that? I think there is.
We might call some listeners pests. not very many.
So maybe there is a chance. Maybe we watch this movie, then we will start applying
it. I have seen this movie. I watched it at like a summer camp thing, I think.
Mm.
And I think they would just get whatever new releases were out.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember watching The Rock. I remember watching Pest.
The Stupids.
National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation.
Wow.
This was a killer time, honestly.
I've seen Vegas Vacation 20-plus times.
Yeah. I recently heard an argument made that Vegas Vacation better than Christmas Vacation. Agree, disagree. I know it's like Christmas Vacation sort of like set in stone due to the holiday perennial nature.
But I've seen Vegas Vacation more.
Mm-hmm. It's what I did to avoid election results on the fateful night in 2020 when we didn't end up knowing anything.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Actually, I ended up, because as a new parent, you kind of split movies in two. And because the election results weren't done... I got a little extra. All right, we'll continue avoiding on night two, and we'll continue the second half of Vegas Vacation. It was a great time.
Vegas Vacation, maybe it's the best one. Maybe it's the best of the vacations.
I'll keep nudging it up the charts.
Yeah, maybe.
Being that I associate it with Donald Trump not definitively winning immediately, I don't associate him with Donald Trump losing, because we didn't know yet. But I do associate it with going to bed two nights in a row, and Donald Trump did not win. So just for that.
So it's risen a little bit in the ranks.
Yeah, even though one of his top recent supporters is in the film, Randy Quaid.
Yeah, right. We'll go back and do... I mean, there's obviously a theme... there's themed experiences in Vegas Vacation, so I think there's probably some sort of episode we can do.
It's prime Mirage. It is Mirage.
Yes, that's true.
Pristine condition. So maybe just for that, you gotta know. Gotta and Siegfried there, yeah. and Roy also in
right.
prime condition.
Yes.
Wayne Newton in prime condition. Though he's as he has been for many decades.
Yeah, he's been. He is like what would you say? Like frozen in time. Frozen in
living wax figure.
Living
but
wax.
But not in like a scary horror movie way, where he's like. Somebody made him that way to be mean.
He's got to be a Trump guy too, right?
Most likely.
There'd be no
reason we would have to hear about it. There's zero current relevance to Wayne Newton. So he would never shove this in front of our faces.
That's true. I'll just double check that before.
That's worth a Google. And throw it in when you say. So all of this talk aside, all of this 1997 movie talk aside, it's all distracting from that we are... at last talking about a new ride. It's been a very long time since we talked about something within the 4-month radius of it coming out. So this is fresh out the gate for 2021, unless you count that it was supposed to open in 2020 and did not, obviously.
Real quick, 2016, I was correct, at least. As far as 2016 is concerned, that, yes, their support was there. I don't know if it lasted, though.
Well, it's how many people drew the line after the events of January.
Of course.
I will never... I'm sure Trump lost him there.
Yeah, of course. There's no way. There's no
all
way.
His supporters.
No possible way. Yes, but new ride...
Yeah.
New exciting experience.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the, I like to say my famous catchphrase that I stole from Tom Cruise, back to the movies. But today I like to say, back to ride the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty
good. You kind of stole that from Jason the other day, too. Although if he kind of took it from you starting to do it, it's a part of the shared lexicon, I feel.
I think he stole it from me.
Well, it was a homage to you.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to do the physicality. I was watching your video, and I was watching the Tom Cruise video, and then I tried to replicate it.
Yes, right. Yes.
You're all attributing Tom Cruise's second most famous clip from the last year. The distant second from the one where he yelled a bunch.
Where he screamed at people for standing not 6 feet apart. I guess not following COVID protocols.
Couldn't even tell you what it was. That's the danger. We don't know what we don't know the image that he's looking at.
I think a lot of people were like, "Oh, that's good that he's taking this very seriously." We really have no idea what actually happened or what he was losing his mind about. We don't know if it was like somebody like their elbow like verged on 5.5 feet and he like lost his mind and you were like, oh, something's wrong.
Or if he miscalculated because they're in England, so he's like converting it to meters and the standard is different between meters and feet.
Possible. So yes, I think a lot of people were like, well, good. I mean, he's taking this seriously, which is important.
But then you cut to the other side and there's like a 10-year-old boy so scared. I'm sorry, Mr. Cruz.
we don't know for sure. And I think some other people after the fact were like, oh, that's good, he's taking it seriously. I might not have screamed at everyone like they were children, or which is also a bad way to deal with children.
But that also is kind of one of the few speeds on a film set, screaming at people like they're children.
Well, or was in the days of Scott Rudin.
Yeah, the classic era of Hollywood, yes, is more of a screaming time. But this new era where we all were polite. Everyone's polite now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Film sets aren't filled with like the most gifted people you've ever met and also the dumbest motherfuckers you've ever met.
It's just
curious who you, I'm sure you're curious to see a shoot and see like captions over who you're talking about.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
You know, it's very complicated. Oftentimes, if you slap on associate blank or associate blank, they're either the hardest working person in Hollywood or the worst fail son you've ever met. Like, and there's really very little common ground.
I hope you're talking about your specific experience of being a PA on American Gladiators, and that there's some producer.
Oh,
there
I met some terrible people working on that.
Some maniacs
who work in reality TV,
but not the Gladiators.
No, the Gladiators, by all accounts, very polite.
But not the associate Gladiators. They are dipshits.
Do you still stay in touch with some of the Gladiators?
I don't stay in touch with any of the Gladiators. I do not stay in touch with Gina Carano. Thank you.
Oh,
very
was she
much.
One of the Gladiators?
What? Yes.
When you did that, she was one of them?
Yeah, she was one of them.
What was her name?
Yeah. I think she was.
Pestario?
I will look this up.
Oh my gosh. That's a big revelation. How's
that
not
crazy?
Come up before?
Yeah, you never said that.
Gina and Hulk in one place? There's so many shared interests
offering Hulk Hogan some Nature Valley granola bars. Gina Carano was Crush.
Crush?
Wow. Not as perennially lovable as the turtle.
Yeah, no, not as good as that. Not as beloved as the soda, Orange Crush.
Yeah,
Philip. Yeah, there's expiration.
Wow. Interesting.
I mean, the nicest people were Layla Ali, the co-host, Muhammad Ali's daughter.
Sure.
And the guy Wolf. Wolf was a real sweetheart.
Wow. People don't know what we're talking about, Jason, like over a decade ago as a PA on the rebooted American Gladiators.
At Universal Studios? On the Universal lot?
No, on the Sony lot. On the biggest soundstage on the Sony lot.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Which may be where, I don't know if it's the same stage, but possibly if it's that big, it might be where Captain EO shot. I believe that was a Sony lot.
That's very possible. Audience holding soundstage, also gigantic, was where a lot of The Wizard of Oz was shot.
Whoa. Oh, so where that the hanging...
Possibly.
The definitely real hanging happened.
Oh, my gosh. That's where you and Wolf met.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop for a second and deal with this scary...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I think it's a dragonfly, right?
It was. I don't know.
Is it?
Is it a beetle?
It looks like a scarab beetle. I'm not going to cut this. I'm just going to say that I think one of the scarabs from the mummy ride at Universal
is outdoor,
in Scott's...
He had escaped. We aren't that far from it. Mike, you were there.
I was just
earlier.
No,
did
I came
you
right
did
from
a scarab
there.
Beetle hitch a ride with
oh
you?
Oh my God! Can I get a picture that will actually convey this?
That is a really scary.
It's
bug.
So big and like black and thick.
So if you hear really embarrassing screams midway through this episode, it is because it is on one of us, and perhaps and if you're the most scared screams followed by silence, it's that 1,000 of him showed up and consumed one of us whole.
It's got gold, like golden wings. It's kind of beautiful, honestly.
It is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's luring us.
Is it having a problem flying?
I'm not sure. I hope so.
Maybe, but what if it just like comes over to our feet and asks for help?
Yeah, me.
Oh my gosh, this
it's
is
me,
really
Pestario,
wild.
Pestario, the pest.
No, my God, Pestario, you've transformed into a scarab beetle.
A real little pest.
Wow.
You know what? Not the only wildlife, and not wildlife, not the only animal in the yard, because this is an episode about the pets ride.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are joined by, who just jumped into Jason's lap on top of your laptop. This is fantastic. A pet that has, I'm sure, been on the show, but not with all of us together.
That's right.
Introduce our friend just for this episode.
Yeah, Garfield the dog is here. I'm watching him for the afternoon. And,
Jane,
is,
your girlfriend's
yes,
dog.
Yes, my girlfriend's dog. technically, partly by now, too.
Wearing a sweater, climbing all over you.
He's wearing a hoodie, and he is...
you're, like, dressed the same.
We're dressed the same, and he is... you know, you mentioned that scarab beetle, and he slowly... You were both watching the beetle, and I was watching him. He slowly backed up when he saw it. He's on the other side of the yard and is wandering around now a little. He is on the leash. He is not
wow.
off the leash.
He is literally on a leash, yes. Appreciate yeah. it. So he doesn't go eat the, like... lemon goo that landed under the tree in this yard. This is we have like real hazards in getting
there's
this
a lot
done
in
at
play
this
right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now
there's
a bird is calling. Boy, hope you listeners are enjoying the outdoor era. So better than Zoom, right? Because you get to hear us stop and talk about all the distractions. I mean, I love that there is a little dog, probably of similar to the size of the main. Character in the ride, voiced by Patton Oswalt, whose name Jason knows because you made a list, you said.
That's right.
Downgraded from a chart to a list once
it's
you
Max.
Considered it.
Yes.
Max. Yes, Max, the star of Secret Life of Pets.
Wow, yeah. Just like Max.
Yeah, not the same type as Max, but
no, Garfield,
the same similar size.
Garfield is a Shih Tzu, a little street dog Shih Tzu.
Do we know what Max is offhand?
I think Max is like a beagle or a terrier. And
Garfield just
Max.
Hit his head on the microphone.
He is. You know what?
Pure pet chaos right now.
I had a feeling there because when this was, I was all for it. But when it was discussed, Garfield being here, and he said he'll probably just sleep under the chair, I did think there's no way that's happening.
No, no.
For sure, it's going to get crazy.
He wants kisses from Jason.
He sleeps so much of the day, and now he is sitting on my lap, and he'll probably be asleep on my lap soon enough.
Yeah.
I told you guys beforehand, we put the hoodie on him so he would go to sleep. And he's collapsing. He's falling over right now.
I wish, oh my gosh, he should have a little cap on like you do as well. I wish that he had a baseball hat on like you have.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the only other plus. That's the only other plus up I could have to this this scene. Maybe if he put little pants on him, but that would be hard.
He's a real sweetheart. We had a nice long walk earlier.
Wonderful. Well, let's get Edwin over here to your dog.
Sure.
Let's get my baby out, and then we'll just like it'll be a 15% content, 85% fumbling episode.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of directing traffic. Let's real quick talk about what it was like to be back to ride the movies.
Yeah. Oh boy. Because you're fresh from it. You just
I was
did
just
it.
There. Yeah.
We've all trickled in. I did it a couple weeks ago. Jason, I think you did this ride as part of the Taste of Universal or whatever they were calling that.
Yes.
The food festival.
Yeah, I was there like almost a week before Universal officially reopened. The reopening day was Friday, April 16th, 2021. I was there the previous Thursday, and I had seen the day before on Twitter a number of people have posting. I think I saw first Todd Martins from the LA Times was there and was getting on the ride, and I messaged him, and he's like, yeah, I was at Taste of Universal, and they're doing soft openings. They're phrasing, they call it technical rehearsals, which is, okay, the ride's open, you can come on and ride it. If it falls apart, you can't complain. We do not guarantee this ride will work.
Buster Keaton style.
Yeah.
The building could fall for all four sides of it.
Hopefully with the space left for you in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the crowds were, I mean, they're still pretty low out here in California, But especially for these food fests, they were very low. So we got to do it a few times that day.
Mm-hmm. Nice, and, nice.
Yeah, I was just going to an outdoor food eating. I was not expecting to do any rides.
The surprise of getting a ride,
getting
that's
a
tremendous.
Ride. Yes, we rode this and the spinner ride in Super Silly Funland.
Oh, boy. That's a good line. After this long ride drought, that sounds really fantastic. Yeah. I mean, you're the freshest from it, Mike. How did it, how did it feel? This is your return to theme parks. Not all of us have been to one yet. Jason's done Disneyland chronologically now. I'm heading there. How was the return?
Well, like a lot of things at this point in life, it's like, it was like you went in and it wasn't like a big, oh my gosh, I'm back. It was like walking through, like, oh yeah, this is normal. And then like parts, you'd go, oh good. Like once you'd be on a ride, you'd go, oh good. Yeah, good. Thank goodness. It's a trickle in. It's not a big celebration of, you know, like, oh, I'm back. There's like, it's not going to be like some neat coronation, like big celebration. It's just going to be like, oh, good.
I've had that with moments of getting back to regular life where it lasted so long and it's all been so annoying and just like, and overlapped with so much other annoyingness in the world that some things have been pure bliss, heavenly, and other things have been like, yeah, good, damn it.
Yeah.
That's right. It's about time.
I did feel, the most I felt sort of like wistful was definitely at the end of the Pets ride. And that's partly because of not going to these places for so long, and partly because I am a sucker for Pets and the dog, and too emotionally wrapped up, probably too much in Pets and Edwin and the dog.
A nice thing happens, and then there's a big party for you at the end. That is the conclusion of this ride.
Yes. And I woke up too late today, and I was also like, I wanted to get there earlier. So I stressfully walked into Universal Studios for the first time in like a year and a half. And then, like, oh, then you relax a little bit.
It wasn't immediate. Yeah. It wasn't immediate for me either because I was like, whoa, we're in the gate. We're actually in it. Excuse me. Would you be available to do a quick survey? Look, hey, normally, yes, I love to help with that. I know that the feedback actually matters. I'll do the thing online. But, oh, my God, right. Look, I haven't done this in so long. I have nothing to talk about. I literally have no theme park experience from the last year and change.
Yeah, I saw them. I thought they were going to ask me because there were two people standing with the whatever iPads, and I was like, are they going to ask me? And then the trick is, and I don't know if we probably talked about this before, supposedly is you make eye contact with them and then they won't ask you usually. They're not supposed to ask you if it looks like you want to talk to them.
Oh.
Supposedly, again, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but supposedly the idea is that they're supposed to just sample the audience or sample the park goers by finding people who would not want to talk to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's more of a random for whatever reason. So if you look at them like eagerly, they're not going to pick you.
Now, what if you make a beeline right for them and you say, can I take a survey?
If you do that with that voice,
yeah.
If you say, "Can I take a survey?"
And with no mask,
rip your mask off and have a little like a Grinch-like smile curling, and go, "Can I take a survey?" If you do that, then they will for sure say yes, and then they'll let you. The dog is now trying to like hug Jason.
Oh boy. It makes so much sense for this episode.
He's stepping on Jason's phone.
He loves to do this when I am trying to sleep.
Jason, close your legs so we can have a lap to sit on.
Oh, okay.
Wait, no, now he's jumping.
Now he's jumping off. Yeah.
And it's wrapping up in the mic cord.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to pull this mic over.
Oh, boy. This is why I wish we were filming the whole thing. Let's hire videographers quickly.
And now he's smiling because he's proud of himself.
Great smile. Great smile on this guy.
The park was, I think, partly because, you know, they're only still not loading full ride vehicles on a lot of these things. The park, like, I went to that lower lot, and I was like, these wait times are really long. Early, they're still pretty long. So I really got a chance to do Jurassic World and this, and that was about it.
Oh, yeah. I hate to say it. That early is part of it.
I should have gone early.
Easier for me. Parent hours are up at 6 a.m. all the time. So we were like, yes, sure. Let's get to it. But
I have a gold pass, so I'll be back.
You can immediately.
Yeah, good rule of thumb. If you're going to Universal Studios Hollywood, whether it's now time or normal times, go right to the lower lot. because everyone else waits till later in the morning or midday to go down there, and it just crunches so bad.
And it's single rider's not back yet.
Single rider's not back
yet. Oh, yeah,
which is another thing, because I forgot all about that. And then I was like, well, single rider, you can go right on a couple of these. And it's like they don't do that right now, at least because of the protocols, which I don't know if that really matters that much.
Exactly.
I get the idea. But
you know what's
sure.
great, though, with it is that you get a lot of ride vehicles to yourself, which
well,
rules.
Yes. I was front row, and we'll talk about this on a different episode. I was front row on Jurassic World.
Oh, hell yeah.
Alone.
No one else in the entire...
No, there were people behind me. But
many rows. They don't. Yeah, exactly. Those are not very populated.
Exactly.
I think the idea, listener, is that we're going to talk a little more about extra universal stuff and maybe that Indominus Rex over on the second gate at patreon.com/podcasttheride. So further universal thoughts, because you need them all. You need to collect them all. So we'll, you know, we'll do the broader scope there. I'm trying to think just quick... hits. I mean, yeah, getting to do rides where it's almost only you and the vehicle. Another reason to go straight for that lower lot. Honestly, one of the best parts for me being back there was the Starway. There was a real victorious nature to that Starway. It's not like I had an inherent love of it before. Some attractions, we talk about it and then I love it more. I wasn't sure how I felt. I had so much fun talking about the Starway and the evil Starway, also on the second gate.
Yeah.
That suddenly now, for some reason, I was raring to be back there. Also, just like, you know, I've kind of I've lived now several places and lived and worked several places, like in the view that you get at the top of the Starway. Mm-hmm. And it's such a like triumphant, like... You know, we were all stuck in our rooms for so long, and we pined for the view, the Lion King-esque view of the kingdom.
Yes,
of the North Hollywood general area up above. I felt like we finally rose above it, and I'm looking down on all these great places where I've had great memories, and that are starting to open up again. There's something about that top of the Starway that there was just like a grand vista nature that I really liked.
It's a beautiful view of the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah,
there's that golf course there that I think we're all hoping is finally bought by Universal to be turned into another theme park.
or put your, you know, get the condos over there so we don't have to worry about them muscling in, because there's been a lot of talk about what do you do with that lot. And the most boring plan, obviously the most boring plans for anything always are expensive condos.
Yes.
So let's keep that off the lot and put that over in the boring, you know, in the residential zone.
I agree. And the other quick note I'll have of being on top of the Starway is, of course, the Nintendo Land view. My favorite thing is to look at construction in progress. And boy, they cannot hide it. There's impossible to hide it. Like sometimes Galaxy's Edge, you could see things from, if you go to this part of the top of this. There's no way to hide it. It's just you're going to be going down the escalators. You can see the whole thing. You go to the queue of Jurassic World, and it's just like open. You just can see inside.
Yeah, they don't really block it. And it has just moved in the recent past from just being like a lot of construction, and clearly there's a lot and it's an impressive space, but there's nothing like colorful to look at. And now we have the green Mario Hills, and you get a sense of how awesome that is going to look, especially from the Starway, which, you know, some dullards out there might say that having to take all these escalators is boring and perfunctory, but now you're going to have this epic view of like up above. Like, you don't get to descend into Galaxy's Edge. With this, you're going to get to see the scope of this bright, vibrant land as you, you know, land from above. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's like sort of the level select screen in a lot of ways as you go down. So, you know,
like
when you
map.
Can see, yeah, like when you're playing a video game, you can see sort of the level, and there's a smaller version of it before you select it. So you can select Jurassic World, you can select the Brendan Fraser mummy, and then you can see the Mushroom Kingdom there, and you can select that as well, and that all is accessible from your good friend the Starway.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks to the Starway.
Yeah,
no way of getting. We'd have to jump from the parking garage.
You know what I also real? We could talk about this all day, but like we were on the Starway, and I was just like, the music is pumping. Like I'm loving this vibe. Like I guess it's just being outside and having, there's a loud beat, and you know they turn that music up a little louder than they do at Disney. Mm. You know, I like a douchey Vegas pool party. I'm like, maybe that's where I'm just like, yeah, hell yeah. They didn't play Gasolina, but I would have lost my mind if they played Gasolina.
Were they playing It's Gonna Be a Lovely Day by Lunch Money Lewis featuring Aminé?
Can you give me a couple ten seconds of it to know what that song is?
No, it's just a song that plays at the end of Pets. It's from the Secret Lives of Pets soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
They were playing Do the Bartman, though. I was loving it. They were playing Do the Bartman as I was going down.
Really?
Yeah. They played it twice. They played it as I was going down.
On the escalator, not in the Simpsons?
No. Right, like as I was walking to the escalator.
I don't think I knew they played Do the Bartman, though, in general.
I didn't know for a little while, but I think a couple of years ago when I was, and I said, I think I said it on the Harry Potter Three Broomsticks episode, I think like they play it. I was like eating outside and I was like, Do the Bartman's playing while I'm in Hogwarts.
That's so great because as a Simpsons fan, I think every Simpsons fan can agree that one of the best things the show ever did was Do the Bartman. And you're not a true Simpsons fan. Am I a Simpsons fan? Everybody, if you can, do the Bartman. Everybody, if you can, and a man can. I mean,
yo,
we all, it's our
hey,
favorite.
What's happening, dude? I'm a boy that's something to being rude or whatever. I mean, I had a cassette of it, so I can't act like it's not burned in my brain in a lot of ways. But it's fun. It's fun to hear it because I don't hear it a lot. So like that's they
be
play
no other. It's not exactly a radio song.
No,
or in the supermarket.
And the rest of it is all like Alf Clausen, you know, orchestral Simpsons stuff. And
sure,
but then you know you rock a little to Do the Bartman. Like that's a little bit more of a rocking
the rockinest
rocking
song.
So I was vibing on the music today. Like there was some pop hits and Bartmans, and I was enjoying that.
Jeez. They didn't play any of the Beatles, but you get a different type of Beatles if you go into the Mummy ride.
That's a good point. And in this yard, which, by the way, I think the bug died.
Just dead?
It's right over there.
Oh,
it hasn't moved. Either that or it's pregnant with the tiny scarab.
No, it's going to, like, a bunch are going to burst out right now.
I don't know. I mean, it hasn't moved.
Watching beetle labor?
Like, whoopee.
The beetle might have died. I mean, I feel bad. As my older age, I really don't even like to kill bugs anymore.
Oh, my God.
But it's just sitting there, and it's, like, about 8 feet from me or so, 10 feet. And it's just, I can see, right? That's it, right, Scott? I think.
Could be. Boy, well, a scary endeavor, and I can't help but think it would have been a little better if I'd gotten my coffee.
Nice.
Right, we get that. Everybody gets it, right? Is that a scarab moment or not?
Oh.
Is that like just like a ghost gets him? That's how the Mummy ride ends in Florida.
It's a ghost gets him. But it also, like, that outburst is very similar to what Tom Cruise had on the set of Mission Impossible as well. So that's both a reference to scarabs and to Tom Cruise's
and
outburst.
And both the members of the Mummy franchise.
Oh, right. Very good point.
Of different, I guess, different Mummy franchises.
They should just, they should flip out the Fraser thing with a Tom Cruise rant at the end of that, too.
Yeah, sure. Or get them together into the Mummy verse.
Why not? Let's roll. As I always say about all this IP stuff, let's roll in the slop. Let's roll in the slop like pigs and enjoy
it. As it could be.
Team everyone up. Let's do it.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
All right, let's get into this ride a little bit. The Secret Life of Pets. This is I may have said this on the show before. One very strong memory I have of the pandemic hitting was that I have like a spreadsheet that says what episodes are maybe in there that we put out and what are coming up. And I remember specifically like, oh, well, March we got Secret Life of Pets, so that'll be fun to go see that and then talk about it as soon as it's open. And then at some point around March or April, just deleting that square permanently.
Yeah,
not permanently, but removing it. I'm like, I think we can safely say this won't be on the 2020 podcast The Ride schedule. Yes. Bummer, but not the worst thing that happened.
No.
The worst thing would be the cancellation of Peacock Fest, the celebration of the new Peacock streaming service that was also going to have a big marquee, you know, ride, come see your favorite stars, your favorite NBC Universal stars, and ride the new Secret Lives of Pets ride. Secret Lives of Pets, of course, not available on Peacock, neither of them. The first one is available for you to rent from your favorite rental service. The second one is streaming on Netflix. And that just goes to show the quality of Peacock curation.
That, there's all those crazy, like, that, you know, I mean, this one's, like, I guess people know the ownership of this show, but you do go, an NBC streaming service, huh? Oh, finally, a place where I can watch Friends.
Well, that's on
Warner. Why? It was on NBC. Well, no, because the ownership is a Warner produced show. And then vice versa. There's NBC things on Peak. Like, you have to know what companies made things to be able to chart all of this. Which, unfortunately, I do. I do know what companies made shows that I've never seen 1 minute of. Mm-hmm. So I can navigate some of these things sometimes, but it's still...
Sure.
There's a lot of, like, pre-work to do to go watch anything
on a streamer. Yeah, and that's most of a lot of a film degree is them telling you, like, okay, this is the difference between a distributor, a producer, a network, and a production company. regular people don't know this.
And yeah, or like, care.
Okay, that took 20 minutes. Now what are you going to teach?
Something more interesting, please.
Something. They don't even have, you'd think like, well, their biggest franchise, maybe one of the biggest in the world, Fast and Furious. Okay, we have six, we maybe have seven, we don't have the rest.
What?
But, okay, TNT, if you get the TNT app, you can watch one. And then if you get the TBS app, you can watch the other. And so it's scattered to the wind, but you wouldn't. And Fast and Furious 9 is about to come out. You wouldn't think you would
maybe
want your biggest movies like
get them all,
get them there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. There was going to be a Fast and Furious presence at Peacock Live, which I went and looked up our email about. Which was sometimes we get emails that are like, "You want to come check this thing out for free?" Sometimes there's free things that we get, not very often, but once in a while, and we're very excited, and that's cool. This email seemed to be, for just $99, you could see Elizabeth Berkley and Bill Krebs, the executive producer of Good Girls. But I might have paid that. Oh, and a preview of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. This email is bizarre to look at now. But then, like, a little late with Lily Singh, the panel of the show that'll be on forever. And then, but you were maybe going to get to see Jay Leno talk to Dennis McCarthy, the picture car coordinator for the Fast and Furious franchise.
That I actually would pay to see.
That
I would consider.
If you're going to hear anybody, the thing that my friend Tommy pointed out about Jay Leno's garage, you're like, a comedian doing a car show. That must be funny. No. He asks very dry car questions. This is not funny to him. Monica Lewinsky, that's to joke about. Cars, this is serious business.
They do like one bit an episode, though.
Yeah, he allows one, but it's very, you're right. It's like an island outside of the info.
Yeah.
It should not be tampered. Unlike us, who weave it all in and out. You never know when it's going to be a comedy.
Folks, facts and jokes and stories.
Dogs and beetles. You never know what's going to hit you.
My goodness. What a podcast this is. Where was I?
We missed Peacock Live is the point. And so we didn't get to get that preview of this. But it eventually came. So this is one of the big things I did think about throughout the pandemic is that this ride was ready to open. Mm-hmm. It was so close to turning the keys and starting the thing, and then it all went down. So and crazy when you think of the scope of it, because the big headline with this attraction is animatronics. So many animatronics. I think a press release said 64 all told in this attraction, and that's a lot to be just sitting around, not doing anything, not turned on.
Yeah, this and Avengers Campus were starting media previews. And I think about to start annual pass holder previews, in Universal's case at least.
You mean last year?
Yeah, last year.
Oh, Avengers, I don't think it was done.
Huh?
Avengers it finished a couple months ago, I think.
They had a little more.
It wasn't. But there were media tours. Like Carly.
They were doing like hard hat stuff.
Yeah, hard hat stuff. Yeah. Taste the food. That sort of thing.
It had been by end of year. I don't remember the.
Avengers was supposed to open in the summer last year.
Yeah, last summer.
Like June or July in the summer. But I'm just saying, like, I think Pets was truly sitting like finished.
Pets was ready to go.
Yeah, versus Avengers, which I think they ended up being delayed a little bit, and they finished a couple months ago.
So they have created with this attraction. Kind of a little, I don't think it's called this by anyone other than us, but maybe let's just call it Illumination Alley.
Yes.
There's a section that is a little narrow and stretches.
Yeah.
It is pretty, very like New York cramped. This is a New York themed attraction, and it butts pretty close right up to the Despicable Me Minion Mayhem ride. And these are to talk about production companies, as in your film school. These all made by the same studio, Illumination. Despicable Me, their crown jewel, but Secret Life of Pets, a big franchise too.
Yeah, I actually didn't even realize this until today when I did it, that it was right there. Which I thought was very cool that it was right there, because Universal, you know, we all know it's a kind of a Universal Hollywood is a weird layout, hard hodgepodge, and this did make the area there feel like, oh, it's its own little thing here.
Actually, cohesive. Yeah, absolutely. And it does start to disrupt this odd. We've never really talked about it. It is weird, that whole zone up there on the upper lot that's just like Streets of the World. Oh, is it like Epcot World Showcase where you experience different cultures and foods? Nah, it's like crappy pizza.
Yeah.
Okay, are there like different attractions representing like a boat ride of old London? No, it is nothing. No. Truly, there's not a thing. There's like a Moulin Rouge windmill. That's about all you got.
There's
a weird
an
zone.
Irish bar. But not the full-size Irish bar and restaurant like in Orlando. This is more like a railroad apartment that you can walk through and get a plastic shot glass of Jameson.
It's so small.
It is so small.
Very sadly small.
Is a full bar? Am I right on that?
I think that is like a hard liquor place, which does not really sound good to me. Let me grab shots quick. Usually, at least Universal, I associate with heat very often.
Yeah,
a fire. I don't really want. Yeah, like the, and it gets so hot in the summer. So in 110 degree, I don't want that Jameson shot necessarily.
But some people do, and that
sure.
Universal is the funniest because the space is so odd, and the 4 o'clock crunch where people who've come to the park halfway through the day arrive. People who've been there all day arrived. Everything has a long wait. And some people are just hammered. Like, Universal Hollywood is... You don't get it. I think people get crankier at Disneyland, but Universal Hollywood, people sometimes just show up to have a good time.
We got to do... I've never actually done anything in... I've never had anything in there before.
They have a lot of golden... They have the mango cart. Well, that's delicious.
My fruit juice.
The beer
alcohol,
that tastes like
baby,
juice
my
box.
My baby alcohol. Yeah, no, I love mango cart. Sure.
And they also had tall boys of White Claw.
Sure.
Not a lot of the restaurants.
More baby juice for
More
Michael.
More baby juice.
More go-go juice for Michael.
My sweets.
Yeah, that'd be a good before Horror Nights or something. That's a good...
Well, I think that's more of a... I think because Horror Nights attracts a much younger crowd as well. They and locals and stuff, you know, it's more of a locals park, Universal Hollywood, I think of. I feel like Horror Nights in Orlando, they're like, yeah, come do the haunted houses and come get hammered. But Horror Nights out here, I feel like they kind of are really strict about it.
Yeah, they're a little more. It's a less of a free-for-all, boozy free-for-all out here. I'm realizing now, and we'll talk about this on the Jurassic World, there's not enough time. I noticed the kids and like adults, both alike, are wearing a lot of big pants lately. Just I'm seeing that big pants are back in.
Well, baggier stuff. In
like
general,
like
I
Hardy,
think
like
in.
1999 wrestling tag team, the Hardy Boys, giant like JNCO pants. I was like, well, I guess this is back.
It's throughout the day, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I was like, huh, this style is back, I guess.
I think someone bought JNCO a few years ago. I think someone bought it with startup money.
I don't know anything
about... Gecko is back. I'm always getting ads for that Gecko Hawaii on Instagram.
This will be... We'll talk about big pants on Patreon, though. We don't have time.
Yeah.
So
big pants.
Yeah, there's a little corner here that is all in the same illumination verse, which is really nice. And the both show buildings or not show, well, like, you know, the exteriors both look in the same universe, and
Yeah, yeah, because they aren't like, yeah, it's not like a house style at that company, but they're certainly like adjoining. They definitely fit well together. So yeah, I love that. I love that those that all ties together. It did have to be, this did cause the demise of the Globe Theater.
Yes.
Universal's event space. Personal significance for me because it's where I did the first of three steps of auditioning to be a tour guide. The big like open call was there. There was also the site of a tour guide or maybe just an employee wide film festival that happened that they made Ron Meyer, the real Universal executive, who has a lot to do, who was like several years later was like trying to be a peace broker in the Leno Conan. Like he was like a legitimately a player and all that. He had to sit and watch a bunch of like little movies where people dressed up like cowboys or whatever. I won an award at the.
Oh wow!
I'll slide that in really fast.
Whoa! I don't even know if we've talked about that before.
Did. And I don't. You know, I've never won a. I was nominated for a Writers Guild award once, and you get like a certificate. Mm. So that was the only like trophy I think I've ever.
Do you have it with you?
No, it broke at some point in time in a move or something. So the one.
Oh man!
It was a nice looking award, but it did. It did break. But it felt it was a, they put on a good fake fancy air and there was a real important executive who was probably not paying attention, but I got to feel like it was a mini Oscars.
Wow.
Nice.
That That's was great. Nice. So, you know, I obviously was upset to see this removed. How many more important events could have happened? How many more proms and retirements could have
People
occurred?
Would have but proms at that place, right?
My school did. I think there may have been. Wow. We were just talking about or this hasn't come out yet. We're talking about proms and not going to prom. I think there was a prom I didn't go to at this venue, possibly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I discovered the Disney meetings and events YouTube page where they have little commercials set up for like rent this space at the Yacht Club Hotel for your event. And there was literally just videos that was called like, have your prom at the Grand Floridian. And if your high school can afford to rent space at the Grand Floridian, congrats. Everything's going to be real easy for you from here on out, I guess.
You go to Mar-a-Lago High.
Yeah.
Wow, I am jealous of the kids that went to the Grand Floridian and you got to go to prom at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I was deprived.
Where was your prom? Where was it at?
Portillo's. Hotel. Yeah, Portillo's. Then we went to Lou Malnati's afterward. We had hot dogs and then deep dish, and then that was it.
Nice.
We slow danced in a deep dish pizzeria.
sausage link corsage for your date.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. You removed the sausage from around the girl's leg during the dance.
Oh, that's right. Yes. The great prom show.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so... That would have been nice to go to Universal.
Be near a theme park, but no more of this. They're going to have to figure out a new event space. So my experience with this, got to the park. This was the first thing I went to. I didn't go straight to the lower lot because this is new. I want to make sure I hit this. Immediately not open, like 9:15, mm-hmm. not being run yet. And I've heard there's been that going throughout. We decided to wait it out. Because we had so much luck with that the one time when there was like, I think the Ratatouille ride when we were in Disney Studios Paris had been out for so long. And we were like, if we just put in 5 more minutes, I think we might get it. And we got it and walked right on.
Great.
So with that as a guide, like we always have to at least try to wait it out. And we did and jumped on it, which was great and like really invigorating to after all this time just like, oh my god, we're in a line, this is nuts, well, this is a screen, this is a robot. However, a couple things hurt the experience. One, maybe not a ride that you want to move through too fast,
right?
I guess in COVID era because you don't want to be inside for too long, but this is such a detailed line and we'll get into that. The other thing, unfortunately for me, there are animatronics in the line. Great, good thing. Whatever fix they did to get the ride open by 9:15 did not include the line animatronics. So those were not running. Everything was still. Yeah, bummer. Because
so
they seem good.
You didn't see the wiener doll. You didn't see Buddy.
Oh, man. There was some great
maybe
stuff.
Him, because he's a little more limited. I mean,
yeah,
you get the effect.
Limited.
The wiener dog who is in a kitchen kind of getting his butt rubbed by a blender?
KitchenAid mixer.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
That's
which
Buddy,
is great.
Voiced by Hannibal Buress. that character.
Okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, there are larger animatronics, a lot of movement.
Yeah. And they were still playing the audio, so you got the idea, and everybody was just walking through. Darn. I watched video of it. It seemed pretty great. Did you guys know any of what was coming, or did you go spoiler free?
I saw some pictures of things,
but
I was spoiler free. I saw like the big one. I guess spoiler alert anyway about this whole thing, but like when you kind of first start the first big room of the city, I saw a picture of what that looked like, but I didn't know anything about the queue. I didn't know anything about any of the like further rooms or anything, so I was pretty fresh going into this. A little bit of the queue stuff. And I was thinking about this in general. Like the queue is basically like you're in a nice apartment. You're in a nice New York,
like clean, hip.
Like building. All the characters, nice most of the characters live in a building together. Different apartments in a building.
And I was thinking about this, basically like, there's a couple other, like we've talked a lot about Mickey's house recently. I think that was recently. It could have been 9 months. It could have been 2 months. I don't know. It feels recent, but we talked about Mickey's house. And I think on the Horror Nights, whenever we talked about that a year and a half ago, I talked about the Us house.
Yeah.
Based on Jordan Peele's movie Us. And that has a part where it's just a living room.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure I said something along the lines. I love like approximations of real life in themed experiences, because then when something fantastical or weird happens, it makes my brain believe it more. Like it feels interesting. Like I've tried to think about like if something like looked, we're in a backyard, we're in your backyard here. Like if it just looked like this and you walked into it and then something fantastical happened, it would actually like do a kind of a different thing than like you're walking through the Indiana Jones queue and that's prepping you for being in a different magical place.
You're in Hogwarts or whatever.
Yeah, which is great. That's a whole different great experience. But there is something about being in something that looks like real life and then seeing something cool or weird that does something different that I really appreciate. And I was like walking through and I go, oh, this is that like Us feeling where we were standing in a living room and then got attacked. And I was like, because it just feels like you're in somebody's house and then something awful is about to happen to me. But in this, obviously something very fun and whimsical and cool happened.
Things happen. But yeah, it does feel like lived in, but like in just accurately, like it's not a cartoon version of a house.
Right.
And you do feel like you're in somebody, which it seems like, on the one hand, you might say, isn't that one of the easiest things to do is to build it, but to actually make it feel real and lived in? I don't even know what qualities. I would be curious to hear, a universal ear talk about what are the odds and ends to make it feel like a real apartment that are important.
Sure. I'm sure, yeah, there's a philosophy. They would have to have some sort of philosophy about how to, like, make it real, but a little surreal. I would wonder what the actual like scale of everything is, because it's not quite the same scale as like a normal couch or chair. It's a little bigger. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably have all these different interesting rules that we don't know that help make it like just a little off from your real life, but enough to make you kind of go like, oh, that's nice. I would live in here. It's probably cost $6,000 a month to rent it in New York.
Yeah. But,
I like that. I would like more of that. And I think I would even like more of that with a scarier, weirder ride that is like just a normal place and then something fucked up happens or something crazy. Like whether it's like you're in an apartment and like a transformer rips the side of a wall off or like something like that.
Yeah,
would be
something
really
jarring.
Cool.
Yeah, that is so shocking.
And where you feel like comfortable for a minute, and then that's ripped away from you.
I think that's what it is. The word comfortable is what I'm responding to, because you feel very comfortable in some of these experiences, and then you get hit with whether it's whimsy or magic or terror.
Yeah, this of course leans towards the whimsy.
You're
seeing the whimsical world of what pets do when their owners are not at home.
Of course.
Jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You talk about comfort also. I think that Jason got to go on this first, and I think everybody kind of breezed through the line. However, you did, with Jason's headline, I think right away was, there's chairs. Like, you could sit if you're waiting in the line.
There is chair. It's like, it is truly, like, someone could write a paper on this. It's like, they're the simulation of chairs. They are chairs. They function as chairs. They appear to be chairs. But they're not fabric. They're like fiberglass and plastic.
Well,
and
it's like Mickey's house.
It's like Mickey's house.
Mickey sits in hard chairs is what we figured out. Mickey likes hard couches and chairs.
The
and
cartoon
the same
should be soft. And
right.
Yeah. There's a disconnect there.
There's mail slots. There's practical mail slots that you can fiddle
yes.
a little. But you look in and you see the simulation of an interior. You see a screen.
Yes.
There are some screens and projections on this ride. But I think they're used very thoughtfully.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and
very.
With a lot
yeah.
of neat little tricks.
There's detail and, yeah.
And
yeah.
this is one of those, like, where there's no way we'll ever be able to say all the cool little things, because I'm sure we missed half of
there's
them.
There's tons of little references, little jokes. There's a lot of little Minions gags. Oh. That is, if you're going to say Illumination has a signature, the Minions are their biggest hit. So there's a little dog at the end dressed in a Minion costume, which I believe happens in the second movie.
Sure.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, wow. Hidden Minions.
Hidden Minions.
They have a new thing.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's like how many? I'm trying to think. There's like two rooms with very impressive animatronics talking to you. And the one right before you get on the ride is it's the rabbit, right? It's the
Snowball.
Captain Snowball.
Thank you. And that felt very Rocket Raccoon to me.
Yeah.
That felt like a similar vibe of like he's kind of telling us what to do. But then before that, you get a room with, and again, the two characters.
Max and Duke. Currently voiced by Patton Oswalt and Eric Stone.
Currently, yes.
Now, currently. That wasn't
Max was originally voiced by Louis C.K. Yeah, and they're like, well,
we'll return to the role at some point. We'll
you know.
Secret
yeah.
Life 3.
Anything's possible. So Duke is the bigger dog, right?
Duke is the big, yeah.
yeah. And they're great. It's like
yes.
you could have been, it could just be the queue, and I think you'd be like, man, that was a fun little queue. Like, I got.
Oh, that was just a walkthrough? Absolutely.
Yeah, I got so much of, again, at least for us, like what we like from all this stuff. You kind of get so much of it just in the queue.
Big
it's,
time.
It's like, yeah, I feel like you would feel like, oh, that was good. That's a cute little thing.
Yeah, there was such elation in that line, and there's, you know, I would like to, like, go through it slower, but the speed of that was right at opening. We just had to whip through it. Everybody, I felt, was just, you could tell it was all people who haven't been on a ride in a long time, and there
yeah.
was the euphoria of that, just so much giggling and this, and you know you're missing a thousand things, but it makes you want to come back.
Yes. Yeah, I think also, because I wrote it in technical rehearsals, the ride did stop once or twice when I was riding, and then we got stopped in the queue for a little while, and it very slowly started moving. So I did get a chance to like examine a lot of stuff, and that probably gave me the distraction of like I'm in a room full of strangers. Like, you know, like it probably helped ease me back into polite society.
Oh yes, being near,
yeah.
I know, which is it is a weird thing in a way.
Okay,
the
bug is moving
update?
Again.
Uh-oh.
The scarab is not dead. It is moving, and something is going on.
That's because the eggs have been laid?
Maybe.
Dear God.
It was sitting there, and I go, oh, it's for sure. I've been thinking, oh, for sure, it's dead for 20 minutes. No. Now it is something. It's got something going on, and it is moving again. So let's keep an eye on it.
I believe beetles, one of the, like, bark worse than their bite, kind of, but, like, not, like, good to have them, like ladybugs, you know, or... You know,
biz.
Spiders.
We're good.
Take
Maybe
care
we're
of
good
other.
Bugs.
Maybe beetles are
Maybe
good.
Maybe bugs are good.
Yeah, so when they, well, it'll be good when they, a bunch of babies fly into your mouth.
Well,
good luck, by the way.
Either this episode ends normally or it ends with our full swallowing of Whoopi Goldberg.
Death is only the beginning. So
I won't lie. I do want the episode to end in a barrage of tiny beetles.
We'll see. 50-50 chance, I'd say. Jason, the speed at which you went on this ride because of some slowdowns and stuff, I think maybe they had not worked out the kinks on this early morning visit for me, because this was the slowest ride I've ever been on in my life. You could tell, like, I didn't know the pace of it at first, but once you're, like, after the crawl, I feel like I'm in the first room for a full minute, and you get, like, you know, like enough time to have a sizable conversation with each animatronic. And I'm like, I don't think this is right. I think I could tell the pace that this is supposed to have. I don't hold it against. I find it kind of charming that, like,
yeah.
Oh, this is really made by human beings. This is not just like a well-oiled machine. Like, they are still figuring it out. But it was comical after a while. And, you know, having not been on a ride in a long time, it was pretty great to be on a ride for 15 minutes. It was the slowest.
Really?
It really crunched along where you like felt little vibrations. Butterfly, a nice bug. There were just things that you could tell were supposed to be a whip around, and now you're in front of this. There is a cat that is a scary cat with scary lightning lighting. I forget because it was the cat chewing on a wire. I don't remember the context. But you could tell it was the kind of thing in a ride that's supposed to be, look over here, a scary thing, oh my God, and now the next thing. And instead it was like, look over here for a solid 45 seconds.
Wow. Most of the ride through videos online are about 6 minutes, so slow moving. They want families to do this, with little kids. I read, I think on Theme Park Insider, the height requirement we had talked about amongst ourselves, it's like 34 inches, and they were speculating that is less because of any whips or movement on the ride, and more like, oh, the kid has to be a certain height to get the augmented reality, the like puppy vision.
To line up with the camera,
that's a big part of this ride. There's like two or three moments where you look at a screen, but it's disguised as like a window or a mirror, and you see yourself as a puppy because you're little stray dogs. That's the long and short of the ride. You're little stray dogs, and Max and Duke are helping you get cleaned up so you can get adopted.
Yes.
Find your forever home.
Yes.
Yes.
That sweet phrase. It's in the PR. I forget if it's in the ride. So you get turned into a puppy, and it goes by quick, although you get like a longer run at the end, but just, you know, move your arms a little, you'll see the augmented reality.
You get paws.
Work on your little dog too. And then I think it's like, several dozen dogs that you could be. I think they vary that up a lot.
There's
so
a mix
great.
Of dogs. There's a mix of families who will like go like, wow,
you
that
are
one, you.
Yes, you get like, yeah, you're being prepped for adoption, and then at the end, a family picks you, and it's very heartwarming. And we were like following along with our family, which it's great that they really line it up with your vehicle, and then we looked back to see what the other ones were. And don't quote me on this, because it wasn't mine, but I think further down the line, I think there was a same-sex couple, which, oh my God, in theme park history,
really?
Has there been this? I hope I'm not making that up, and that is a real thing that is nice that they did.
Too, because
well,
I think
good.
I got stuck at that point, and I think I saw like five families go
by. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I think I saw a number of families, but...
You have a 1 in 1,000 chance of getting a same-sex couple to adopt you on this ride.
That's how you win the ride.
Which is as close to how a corporation will allow it at this point.
Smattering will start easing you into the water. But when have you seen that? When have you seen any depiction of anything other than the most binary?
It's generally a quick thing.
Yeah.
Generally a quick thing if it's, yes, cartoon because they don't want
to. Certainly a diverse selection of families, different configurations.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Couples
absolutely.
And... ethnicities and number of kids and that sort of thing. So it's just very positive. Like this ride is just very like positive and nice. It was nice after these 14 months. It was a nice ride.
Yeah.
The most conflict is there's some fireworks going off. Really? That's like the most conflict or most.
Which the more I thought about, I was like, huh, did they mean that to be darkly funny? Because dogs fucking hate fireworks and they're getting shot around a fireworks warehouse.
That's as twisted as the ride gets.
That's as
they
twisted.
Set off fireworks.
That's the revenge by the twisted alley cats who are the, I guess, antagonists. They don't even seem that bad.
The mild antagonists.
They're fine. I mean, that's like the scariest part of the ride, but it's not. Look, it's not that scary, okay?
Good kid ride, which Universal was in short supply of. It's been said a lot by various people. This is a ride Universal needed. Definitely something they did not have in various categories. Just kids, slow moving. There's Despicable Me, but if you're not into 3D or even the jostling is maybe too much for some kids. Like this is, I think anybody could go on it. And obviously the animatronic thing that they have not had. A slow-moving animatronic-based attraction since they callously ripped out our friends E.T. and Botanicus and the mannequin police officers and Meep and Glug Glug and
flop, flop, flop,
blue
flop,
loop
flop.
And whatever.
Blue, blue loop. Blue chew?
Blue chew.
Blue chew. My good friend.
Both blue chew and blue loop, they both stole their names from E.T.'s friends.
E.T.'s parents, blue chew and blue loop.
And blue loop. E.T.'s, E.T.'s parents need your help.
Daddy.
They miss their son. Blue loop. As soon as you get to the green planet, be sure to look for blue loop and blue chew. I'm counting on you, and so is E.T.
Oh, man. Somebody draw those guys.
Which truly, like, you know, the E.T., you know, like, I guess it had to go, but it did fill a void. It was, like, there's a reason it's in, like, sort of the kids area in Universal Florida, and this is just an area that Universal Hollywood was not covering for a long time. And
it didn't have to go. It didn't have to go.
I don't even know why I'm saying that. I went on that, like, I went on Mummy. I hadn't been on this Mummy in a long time. It is stupid. It's a stupid ride. That ending is so
it's just
bad.
It's
the
quick,
eclipse.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm not mad the Mummy, that even bad version of Mummy's there. Just E.T. did not have to go. There was no reason.
Yeah.
Other than them thinking they were going to do something that was going to really, like drive traffic to the park. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it did in the short term. But the long-term game, E.T. was a better play. I think maybe they might realize that now, but maybe they don't. Maybe they're still in their mind they can replace stuff.
After his appearance as a senator in the deep background of one of the prequels, that completely restored the E.T. franchise. People were so excited to see Senator Greeleaps.
Greebleeps? What is his name?
Was it Spielberg backwards?
Yeah, yeah. Greebleeps.
Greebleeps.
Yeah. Is it E.T. and Senator Greebleeps?
I'm not sure. Are they different characters, are you asking?
Well, no, I know they're different characters, but are they both in that little Senate pod?
That little pod.
Or is it just
They were
Greebleeps?
Doing a pod before
It's
we
not
had
Zrak. E.T.'s real name is, of course, Zrak, but it's I think it's just the E.T. species.
It's a bunch of E.T.'s.
But it's not E.T. himself. He doesn't.
I do not believe that E.T. is in.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm just double checking. I don't think that's right. I mean, E.T. is a scientist if you read the book, The Green Planet.
Mm-hmm.
He's very smart.
That is crazy, though. If he goes and has an adventure on Earth in 1982 and then ends up as a senator, of all of the events of Star Wars. What a life.
Yeah, and Star Wars is a long time in the past.
Oh, that's
too.
Right.
So
that doesn't... Well, maybe with some warps and tunnels or whatever.
Traverse
that
a galaxy far, far away, you know?
True. So who knows?
He can time travel, too. He can spin the clock back.
There's a lot of you... I've been tracking this. A lot of UFO talk lately that I'm intrigued by. And I'm not necessarily thinking, like, oh, it's for sure, like, aliens. Something weird seems like it's going on, though, I would say, whether it's weird technology or something. But would I love it if it was like, yep, Botanicus is real. He's in a little pod. And he's been messing with pilots, Air Force pilots, for the last 20 years. I mean, what a dream would that be? If it was like one of our beloved IPs is real, that would be maybe the dream.
Help me scramble more jets. Help me crash more of your people. It's my mission.
I hate the Air Force specifically, and I want to mess with them. I am Botanicus. I'm screwing with pilots in the Air Force.
It's just a thing I do. All when Harrison Ford crashed, that was me.
He was flying an old World War II plane.
I didn't like that he took time away from... Raiders took time away from my sequel.
Yeah.
I never got to be in the movies. Because Steven got distracted.
Yeah. So I tried to kill Harrison Ford. But that man is unkillable. I dropped the Millennium Falcon door on him as well.
I'll keep trying. Please help me. Help me kill Harrison. Hurry.
Botanicus is real.
Please. That's how we're going to find out. Yeah,
we'll see.
Botanicus is real, folks. I don't know how much more I got to say it.
That's pretty good.
Look, hey, look. Look, Jack.
What's hey, Mac. All right, go to Teakley, and then, all right.
Man.
Look, old Joe needs your help, okay? Go find E.T.'s friends. Go find Teakley, okay?
They replaced Joe.
It's for the good of the nation.
Replace Spielberg with Biden on the E.T. ride.
E.T.
That's how you make it relevant.
Yeah.
Look, Joe needs your help, man. Look, man. Look. You gotta do it for me.
All right. So here's another thing. Now we said the plot of this ride is that your friends, Max and Duke, are helping you. And I kind of knew this because I read what the ride is going to be. But I had to recall it because, to be honest, and I don't know if you felt this at all, I got on the ride. Aaron, who'd never read any of the copy, because we had like enough time to like have sidebar conversations, like, what are the babies doing at home? Like, like, you know, the groceries on the way home. We had so much time while sitting in this slow ride.
Yeah.
And one of the side conversations we had was, what is happening? She truly did not know. Like, I don't know if this was a result of the ride, of the line rushing by, but I don't think the plot is necessarily conveyed the best. Which is okay, because I'll get on a ride. Hey, being in Japan, you don't know what the plot of anything is, because you don't speak the language. So that's okay, but I did not know what the ride was.
Yeah,
really.
It's a lot of big set pieces, and if you're focused on the set pieces and the gags and stuff, it's easy to get distracted. Yeah, if you go through the line too quick, you spend too little time in the room with Max and Duke, you'll miss it. This is an original storyline, by the way. It's not a book report ride of either of the films. It's an original, like... You know, all the characters are here. It kind of takes place somewhere around the second movie because Snowball is not antagonist. I think he was the antagonist in the first movie and now his friends, now the anti-hero.
Is he kind of, he has like a superhero alter ego, I guess?
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah, he has a drone.
Yeah,
and he has a lot of
meet him on a drone in that
crazy
first
plans.
Cool.
His plans always go wrong. You know, his big thing in kids' entertainment.
Am I wrong? Isn't the plot like you're just trying to get to the place where you're going to get cleaned up so you can be adopted?
Basically, you're just trying. Like in at the start of the queue, there's a sign that says adoption at the pet store. The pet's store, which is not a store that sells pets, it sells pet stuff, and that is the store underneath the ride that you come out into. But it's also represented in the ride when there's like a big bathing, grooming sequence.
Okay. Right. Uh-huh. So it's just like you're just trying to get there's some mild antics that happen on your way to the groomer.
Why do the fireworks go off?
So I think the cats, first off, like you go into an alley, you run afoul of the alley cats, they mess you up, you're all dirty. And Snowball's like, I got an idea how to get you to the pet store. We're going to put you all on rockets. And then you're extra disgusting because you're all burned. You're all ashy from rockets. You're very dirty from all these hijinks. And then they put you through Rube Goldberg device kind of washing.
Right. You're things. Dirty from hijinks.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. That's what I was saying before is the most, like, I guess, intense part of the ride is there's a lot of screens or a couple screen big screens that have like the CGI movement on them as opposed to like there's some robots that are added there, but the screens augment that idea so stuff can travel very fast and blow up.
Yeah,
but then like bounce along the like crates at the bottom that sparkle and
right.
Yeah. There's fun interactivity or interaction
a lot
between
of,
the screen and
projection mapping and the fireworks.
Oh,
warehouse,
totally. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yes, it's a very good example of when people say, like, oh, like when you integrate screens and the robots, that's like the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It's great. I think it works to great effect in this ride. But yeah, the animatronics, you can't undersell. I think Todd Martin's also pointed out there's an alley cat walking along the piano that looks shockingly
good. I love it. I was staring at this thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, really? The legs are all moving? Because usually you would think, okay, we're doing a robot gag where there's a robot cat walking on keys. The cat can't, like, it's not going to touch the keys. It's going to float over it a little bit. But I'm watching and I'm like, this thing's really, like, it's setting its, it looks like it's touching the keys itself. And I can't really see where the, like, mechanics of it are. And it's close. It's what I always say, what I like. This ride is very intimate because of how close you are to everything happening.
It is very intimate. They cram a lot of space. I don't think the Globe Theater, I don't think they had the biggest footprint to work with. And it's surprising I think they got as much in here as they did. The queue is a little narrow at some portions. There's a stairway I was a little surprised to see like a full-size stairway you had to walk up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You ran a corner. Oh, right. Oh, just stairs. Yeah. What is this, the Millennium Falcon single rider?
Yeah, right.
A barren staircase.
Yeah, and I do question, I mean, there's an elevator too for accessibility purposes, but I do think one of the things probably slowing down the ride, it's like, man, that loading area is real tight. That stairway into the loading is pretty cramped, it feels like to me. So I think loading guests in wheelchairs or mobility vehicles, like, oh yeah, that's going to be kind of tough.
So the queue is all basically on the first floor. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, because at the end of it.
The ride is at the basically the second floor.
Yes.
Oh, right, because it's sort of a tight space. Right. There wasn't a lot there. I didn't think about the two-story nature of it. That's cool.
So that was the solution for the limited space.
I read one article that said, oh, you take it off from the apartment building's mail room, which I didn't really pick up on, but that the cardboard boxes were like a nod to how Max gets found in the first movie is like in a bunch of cardboard.
Oh. So yeah, that's your ride vehicle. Yeah, it's a big
different kinds of cardboard boxes.
Yeah, and you like start in a mail room.
Yeah.
Basically, so it's as if you're a little adorable pet that's going like was been left in a cardboard box and that's how you're riding. It's very very cute.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you see the pets, the CG pets that are you are adorable.
Yes.
They're really
great.
Cute.
Yeah. They are full cute agreement on this point. Absolutely.
Wouldn't it not, Scott, when you went in, wouldn't it be great if it was like Chucko you were staring back at?
What?
cute pet. Old clown from the 50s.
Boy, didn't you think those dogs were adorable? What do you mean? And then I go and talk to, like, I want to speak to one of the Universal engineers, and an old man turns around, an old clown? Certainly not. I programmed this machine myself. There's no old clown. Not in any of the 100 options available.
Then his throat is slashed by something behind.
Something invisible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a clown smile is painted on his lips invisibly. And then I'm chased by ghostly lipstick with no body.
Yeah.
Yikes. Zoinks.
Run into the mystery machine. It was parked very close.
Yes, on that block.
Yes.
We gotta get out of here, Aaron.
Yeah. It's
whoa.
Like 200 feet from that ride. But yes, all the dogs I saw, and it's very, I obviously like this too, because this is such a end of Haunted Mansion. I like it. I like it when you see where this is from. Like I go, and this is obviously the Haunted Mansion is, and anyone who makes rides, they think about it, and it's the same principle. Like there's three big screens, and you're gonna go by it, and you see something that changes you, or you know, the ghost obviously follows you home. But like it feels like that to me, and it feels like it's like the evolution of that idea.
Yeah, and in the set, towards the end when you see yourself, the puppy versions of you are all wet, and then you get blow dried off. So they're like biting the air and stuff. And
you watch that all in the longest screen procession.
Yeah.
You really follow from wet to dry.
Yeah.
And you get wet, of course.
Well,
you can't avoid the old Universal splasheroo.
Here's what I thought. And I don't think I've said this before, and I don't think I had this thought, but maybe I can't remember. But as soon as I get wet, I said, you know what? From now on, instead of saying like, and Universal really leans heavily on this wet thing. Like, they always get me wet, and it seems like they don't have that many tricks. I like the getting wet now, and I think I challenge Universal to get me wet in different fun ways going forward. You know what? That's what I say. That's their signature. Let's embrace it. They have to throw water at you on every ride, and I'm all for it now. Now I think it's their thing, and I challenge them to do it in even more unique ways going forward.
Now it's like a, oh my God, you killed Kenny, you bastards.
Yes.
It's expected.
Yes.
At least a long time ago on South Park.
Right. They maybe dropped that.
They're 18 seasons ago. But So it's a matter of where's it going to come from? We know it's going to happen. Yeah, you're right. There's something. It's like, oh, you trickster. You're up to your old.
Yeah. And maybe it's just because I haven't been on a Universal ride for so long. But right after it happened, I went, you got me, Universal. You always do.
Get Mike wet in surprising way. Get Mike wet. It makes him pop. He's going to pop so hard when you get him wet.
Yes, I will pop for sure, especially if it's a unique way that
you've
gotten
me wet. In a scene with some real intimacy.
Oh man!
if it was like when on the ride vehicle they just like all of a sudden they filled your like water up to your ankles and then drained it by the end of the ride. Even something like that, I would be like, I mean, I don't want to get my pants souped, but I want. But if you could just do it in unique ways, there's like,
what would you like? What if Disney did it? Because you know the Pime,
Pim, Disney, Pim,
Pim. Is it Pim?
Pime.
Hank
been saying
Pim.
Pime? Okay, Pim. there's the bar. There's the restaurant and the bar next to it, and they say if you order a beer at the bar, the pints fill from the bottom up.
Oh,
oh cool.
So if you were getting one of those, and suddenly you look down and you were getting like the Milhouse like ankles. also getting wet
beer?
From the...
or like
I don't know.
Mrs.
I don't
Van
know.
Houten's jacuzzi suit?
Yeah.
My yes.
shoes are wet, but my ankles are bone dry.
We could do just a whole episode just on that menu that came out, the Pim test. Did you see this, Scott?
I didn't see the
full menu. The full menu of Marvel's or the Avengers
yeah.
campus
came out. Everything's either real big or real small.
Some interesting stuff, I will
yeah.
say.
Oh, yeah,
I
mean,
I'm looking excited. Forward to it. A lot of impossible
menu.
Food.
Yeah, it's like Marvel Mania in a way. As close as we can... come now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as Marvel Mania.
Sure.
It's going to be...
What could be. I have a question before this episode wraps, which is, this happened in an episode, and it happened not in an episode, separately, that Jason had been on this ride, we had not been on this ride. I have a recurring fear, as you may know, of giant creatures and things in small rooms. And Jason said, oh, I'll wait till you go on the ride, because you're going to see. I speak to you now, and I say, yeah. I don't know what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, I think
yeah,
Duke,
what were you talking about?
I think Duke was just, I had not
figured
seen
maybe
this
the big
character.
Dog, yeah.
Well, Duke in the living room, and then Duke is above you. But I guess I'm forgetting that room is pretty big, the like New York Street sequence. After I said that, I realized, oh, you know what? When it rotates, you realize you're in a massive street scene.
Uh-huh.
But like you're kind of Duke is on a girder, like right above you.
Oh no, that's really that's vague. Not a problem
okay.
whatsoever. I'm okay. talking about it's got to be, you know, it stems from Mario games with Big Boo and especially the big fish. Mm. Jesus Christ! Oh, it's mainly that. There's not even that many theme park versions of it, and like that, you know, we talked about Sinbad and the what is he? I forget immediately. The giant
ogre.
For some reason he doesn't bother me. What does bother me, and why has this come up before? What
well,
is
you
it
did,
in theme park world?
I don't want to get too much. You did Jurassic World.
Yes.
Did the Indominus bother you?
You got room to breathe in there. It's okay. got to be like it is a 10-foot room, and it is a 10-foot character. There is where I am.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Because it really stems from you'd go through certain Mario doors, and then you are boxed in to a bizarre nightmare cube where you have, if you move forward at all, you will just be touching the ghost and you will be dead. Those things scare me so much. I'm trying to, what even is the theme park iteration? I am scared by the dragon in Harry Potter that you whip around and are suddenly in front
I'm
of.
Always a little, yeah.
Yeah, because that's so big and you don't really have a sense of what's around you. Audience, remind me of what scares
yeah, what
me
scares
on this
Scott?
Front. Please. Chucko's a different thing. We'll handle Chucko separately. But
right.
I think hopefully that conveys the terms. But I think by announcing it, I've been less and less scared of big things. And that dog, that's just a good big boy. No
yeah,
problem
he's a
with
good
Duke.
Big boy. I mean, yeah, what else haven't we talked about? There's so many good cats and dogs in this. There's another pretty good animatronic trick. I think it's Chloe the tabby cat, voiced by Lake Bell, is like on a little treadmill at some point, and they make it look like she's walking on the treadmill.
Oh,
yeah.
And that, I think the, you know, the mechanics, the guts of the animatronic was probably hidden by the belly. Like, I think that's where it was probably connected to the treadmill.
Oh, interesting.
Would be my guess.
Huh. And the legs are just, like, flapping around?
Yeah, the
like
legs
they
are kind
moving
of
her? Okay,
moving
okay.
a little.
Interesting.
Max in the alley is like tied up upside down, is like swinging like a pendulum.
Oh, and like dipping into a barrel. That's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah,
that's really good.
Or maybe it's Gigi, the puffball dog.
No, I think I remember Patton yelling in there.
Yeah.
Could easily make stuff. You know, when Betsy the gerbil, played by Minka Kelly, was doing a sort of a ballet routine. Do you remember that scene? That was really good.
Well, Norman the guinea pig, who's always getting lost in the building, I think that's actually the director voicing that character. But that was the thing, maybe the thing that delighted us the most. So, like, after you get adopted, you see the family, there's a big party for you at the end. In the very back of the room, there is a gerbil with a glow stick, like, dancing with the glow stick.
It is so cute.
Or it's the guinea pig.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to tell, it's a little far away, but it is so cute. They've programmed the movement so cute.
Yeah. I was thinking, there's a friend of the show, Jenny Nicholson, tweeted this a while ago, and she made a point about some newer rides like Rise of the Resistance and the Frozen ride at Epcot, where like some those rides seem like more like a different philosophy as far as rides are concerned, where you're kind of supposed to focus your attention on one thing.
Yeah.
Versus like the Pirates old school Haunted Mansion, where there's 100 things happening around you.
Oh, chaos.
And obviously, like, we like those two rides, but I was thinking, like, on this, I go, oh, this really feels like that style, which I appreciate, because I guess I haven't gone on a new ride that felt like this in a while, where there's 100 things going on. And like you said, that gerbil thing, I don't even remember that.
it's like behind some other animatronics, but he like just moves very rapidly, and it's just so cute.
Yeah.
And then the dog on the, like, an ottoman, dressed like in a little minion costume, like that's fun, and they're playing the song from the movie. And
right.
I thought it was at Justin Timberlake.
It's not the Trolls song.
It's not, but that's the Trolls song. No, but it sounds in the same vein.
Dance. Yeah. So it's like, I would wonder, like, if we would talk about Rise of the Resistance, and like anyone was like, did you see the part where there was the AT-AT shoot at you? Like, of course you saw, everyone sure, saw every big thing that happened on that ride, but truly, like you said, then I go, oh, gerbil dance, I don't remember that.
I know. There's so much. Yeah, you're right. That's a very cool thing about it. Well, it's counter to your intimacy notion if what you want is to, like, because the Rise thing is, it's Kylo Ren looking at you, threatening you, but you can't have the intimate, you can't have the moment in the chaos ride. It's like a different breed, and I think, you want them both. You want variety.
Well, yeah, it depends what intimacy we're talking about, you know, because there is intimacy when Optimus Prime tells you he's very proud of you, but you can, if the robots are very close to you and you focus on one thing, you do have intimacy with whatever you have chosen to focus on, whatever has come into your vision, your line of sight. So
I think Aaron had not been on that ride since we started doing this podcast. So at that moment, like, as soon as he landed and just looks for that beat, she laughed out loud. She just knowing, now viewing it in this lens, like, that was the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your bravery. He did not. I was waiting. I was going to take a photo with him. But Optimus was not coming. Like, the meet and greet was not. It said, like, Optimus will be back tomorrow.
Optimus is not feeling talkative today.
Yeah, and I'm sure we all saw the video online where Optimus was saying, this last year has been very trying.
No, I didn't. What are you talking about? Yeah.
No, there's, we should talk about that in the other episode.
We'll talk about that.
There's, we got to show this. We should show it to you live so we can get your real reaction.
Yeah. Save. Load it up.
These trying times.
He
gives a whole, like, weird speech that's like trying not to make, like, anti-mask people mad. Like, he's trying to hit all the
Republicans buy sneakers too.
Look, Jack, we got to come together, man.
We have to come together.
Can't be having this squabbling, man. Look. You've been working on Biden in the off season?
What's that?
Have you been working on the Biden?
No, not really. I feel like I busted that out okay. Out.
Yeah, no, hey, I'm impressed.
You got to kiss this guy, go low.
Megatron came out, and Bumblebee was out later, but
look, you need all sizes. You need Megatron and Bulbie.
Bulbie.
You need Bulbie and Metron. Optimus Pine. It takes all of them.
Chris Pine.
Takes Chris Pine takes Optimus Tine.
Yeah, I guess but the Bidens are because Carvey has one now.
I'm a little
good.
Bit. He did. Yeah, I think he.
Carvey in this ride.
Yes,
yeah, that's
oh, yes,
right.
I was say, Carvey
this
plays.
Is a Dana Carvey presence in a theme park.
Yeah,
ride.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Pops
he's,
the old
he's like
dog.
A grumpy old man, essentially.
He's a grumpy old dog. Like
he's got a wheel. He's got the wheels.
YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Oh, is he in? Is he in the animatronic?
Yeah, he's got the wheels on his back.
See, I missed him. I just caught him in the queue.
Yeah, he's on the ride as well.
Yeah.
What's that? You know, if you talk about favorite moments in the whole thing, I think it ends really cute. The party is great, but maybe my favorite moment is just the reveal of what kind of ride it's going to be. That it is a chaos ride. That it's a hard to focus ride when you enter that room with the girder and he's over there. You even miss him operating the machine and snowballs up in the drone. It's just such a big pronouncement. This is a crazy animatronic ride. You're going to see a ton of them. You're going to have trouble following it, so you got to come back and see it again and again to catch everything.
Yeah.
It's just you can tell why that's the press photo that they're pushing out the most. It's a really exciting moment, and especially after being indoors for so long. I think for so many people, this will end up being their first ride back. And it's just always going to have not a lot of rides like are tied to an era. I don't. It's not like, and this ride makes me reflect on the events of September 11th or whatever. It's not like, but this one, oddly, this Pets ride, I think, and this awful Corona year are gonna sort of be married, but in the most joyous way.
Theme Park Insider, they had a really nice review of it, and they said at the end of their write up, like, After a year in which so many of us have experienced layoffs and isolation, it's heartwarming to feel wanted and welcome again, even if it's by an animated family. And I think that's right. I think that's a pretty good. Because it's just like, they adopt you, and then there's a big party celebrating you. Like,
yes,
it's nice.
It is nice. I was thinking, like, with kids, like, this feels like, obviously, when you're a kid, this is going to be one of the first rides you're allowed to go on if you go to Universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
So this definitely feels like, and maybe I shouldn't say this with Universal, but it does feel like this should be like a legacy ride for, this should be like last forever and get an update.
Yeah.
Obviously, they won't do, they probably will demolish it in 10 years or something, but it feels like that continuity. That's what we've talked about before. Some continuity at Disneyland is nice. It doesn't need to be everything. But some continuity from, like, your grandmother rode this, and your parents rode this, and now you're riding this. There's a nice thing to have a few rides, like, a few experiences like that at a park. So it would be nice if they kept something around and not destroyed. I mean, this is the only, like, at this point, like, Simpsons is going to have to probably go at a certain point. And plus, this is kind of, like, probably a better experience for you if you're a kid than Simpsons is.
Yeah, and if this, I mean, if, hopefully, it seems like the reception so far has been very positive. Like, I had very few criticisms of any of this.
No.
And it's like, I think it was a thing that was sorely lacking. If you have real little kids, you could kill most of the day in Illumination Alley.
Yeah,
it's the whole part for you. Don't even have to go downstairs.
To go.
That's my plan. There's not a lot to do for little kids down there, so if I ever take the boy, when I take the boy, it's all on the table now. It's
if
great.
He gets tired of the playground, play area at Super Silly Funland, there is a, like, kind of, not hidden, but it's hard to see. You forget it's there. There's a playground at Jurassic in the Jurassic
yes,
complex.
I was reminded of that. And that stuff's not open yet, and I'm really looking forward to it. And, like, because I know that's going to be where we kill a lot of time with him. And if I get tired of any of it, then it's 110 degree Jameson shots
at
the old little. What did you call it? It was like a
Railroad apartment bar, like, which is kind of in Philadelphia. There are a number of, like, townhouse, like, row houses and stuff where, like, the corner unit, the ground floor basement, like, people turn the bottom floor into bars.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
you could Philly.
You'd feel the train rumbling by. It's little shakies. The bar on the
shakies,
corner.
Yeah.
I don't know what the real name
is. Septa trains.
It's little shakies to me.
Saddle up to the bar with Mayor of Easttown and, you know, drink away your troubles.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you see me at Lil Shakey's, shots on me.
Shots
on me. you survive Podcast the Ride? Secret Life of Pets off the Leash edition? Hey, if you have closing thoughts, throw them in.
I want to say, like, I really like this. I'm going to go on it again. I'm sure I'll have further thoughts just because the wait times were much longer than I even thought they would be.
The virtual queue worked great for me.
Oh, I didn't even try the virtual queue. If you hear rustling, I'm getting my mic. I'm prepared to go over and take a look at what the Beatles situation is here as we wrap up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Garfield finally went to sleep. He went to sleep about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, geez. With his owner, like, in the shadow of...
In the sunset.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The shade
the sun
moves.
Has moved.
That's another thing. Yeah, we got to account for the movement of the sun.
Right.
As we do these episodes. Hey, for more discussion of our triumphant return to Universal and a lot of other great episodes, three a month, in fact, then go to... Podcast The Ride, The Second Gate at patreon.com/podcasttheride. Check us out on the socials and merch and a lot of fun stuff coming up soon. Mike's investigating over in Scarab Town.
Okay.
This is Bray. We take you now to Mike 4 feet away.
I'm looking at it and I don't know. It's not, it's moving like a little bit. I do think maybe it has died. Which is a really sad way to end an episode.
That's a weird way to end it. Well, yeah, that's a bummer.
I don't know, though, because it was like this before. So I was hoping to go over there and there'd be a bunch of babies, but...
Well, I say, you know, let's not focus on that. I want it, since you guys are over, you know, we're back in person again, I like to offer little treats to everybody. And, you know, here, I don't know if you've seen it. I had this this open container of Raisinets down on the grass by me the whole time.
Oh,
if you guys want to reach in. Now, I'm looking at, like, just these little, like... You know, like these little black guys, those little, you know, black beads here. There's more in it in this bag than I thought. I feel like it was almost empty earlier, but now it seems pretty full. If you guys want to reach in and just grab a handful, feel free.
Right.
Wait. Oh, my God.
No.
Wait. These may not be Raisinets.
What?
They are crawling up me.
No.
There are hundreds of them. Thousands of them, in fact.
Oh, Jason's just eating them. Fine.
Well,
he's
me and
fine.
Garfield are going to town on the Raisinet scarab.
Scott's being eaten by beetles, but Jason's eating the beetles. Oh, no.
It's like he has control over them.
And I'm listening to the
has
beetles
Has Jason
somehow.
Been Emotep this entire time?
Well. Your souls are mine.
Imhotep, what? And he's daddy as well. He's hot.
As I'm getting swallowed entirely, I'm not going to have a mouth soon, so I better say, first, fuck you, Jason. Jason lives forever, I guess. And thanks for listening. Whoa, bro.
Bye-bye.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.